Serving the Lord is so important to us, because when we serve the Lord, you and I, then others will see Christ within us. Now, when we go out into the world, you and I have no business whatsoever of showing the world who you are, telling the world about how great you are, sharing with the world how great it is for them that you're born. Our command from our Father in heaven is to always share Christ, is to always let the world know that you are who you are because of who Jesus is in you. The scripture says we're supposed to glow with it. When somebody looks at us, they see something different. You don't have to tell them how great you are, because they'll know you're lying. They're looking at you. They're wanting to watch your life. They're wanting to see what you're doing. And we're watching a nation crumble around us, not because of man. Listen to me, folks. We can point at anyone we wish to point at, but we need to be pointing at me, me, me. Nobody can make me do what somebody, to worship another God. Nobody can do that with me and with many of us. Yet talking to my dear friend out of Alabama, and he said, why don't the Baptist get together? And he's one of those big Baptist dudes, but he's more Jesus than he is Baptist. Said, why do we not stand up anymore? Why will the church, why will the Christian who's called to ministry not minister? Why is it that we backed off? Nobody can lead me into corruption. I have to desire to go there. Nobody can hold me down. I would have to have a desire to quit serving God. So it's all about the me that keeps me and you from serving Christ. The breakdown is not in who you point at with your finger. The breakdown is in the heart that God has given us. No one should be able to push the church aside. And the greatest heartbreak my friend and I both have is to know that Christians on the other side of the world, Christians throughout the world, are being slaughtered. Families being killed in front of parents, slaughtered because they said Christ is Lord, and in the United States of America, we are silent. Well, we don't want to rock any boats. My friends, let me tell you a good word from God. Don't rock it. Sink it. Amen. It's time that we as God's children stand up to be counted. But I am to be counted in love. It will be love that will overshadow all of the hate and bitterness. And if you are condemned because of the love in your heart, then praise God, because I guarantee you, as they're destroying your life or attempting to, as they're destroying your reputation or attempting to, as they're doing all these things, Jesus is right beside you, guiding you all the way. Ought to be a song like that, Brother Randy. Either we're serving the Lord, or worse than serving Satan. Now listen to me. Is serving self. We're self-servers. When Almighty God has sent us His Son, His only begotten Son, who's let us know, I came to serve you. And then He said, okay, here's my church. We are the body of Christ. Should we not then serve one another? Should we not then stand strong and true in the Word of God? God said, I've called you out. God did not call me to sit on a pew. He called me to rest there for a time, listen to his word, and then go and minister. Live Your Calling is a series that I knew I had to do. Because in that first message, we understood something. God has called every Christian to be a minister. Not every Christian to be a pastor. Not every Christian to totally be an evangelist. But we're to minister. Where? Wherever He leads, I'll follow. Good song there too. Think of it. God said, I've created you for a purpose. But He said, you are all, every one of you are called. And then the next thing we learned was, we are called by God to be loved by God. God said, I've called you to love you. And I want to love you. Do you ever have someone that loves you so dear? Many parents go through this and they wonder at one time or another within their life that God will intervene and the demons in their teenagers will leave. And they'll have their son or daughter back. It's called life and it's called reality living. I'm called to be loved by God. And then I am called just like you are called to belong. I belong to the family of God. You and I, we're the family. You and I, folks, the church, every other fellowship, Christian fellowship, we are called to belong. We belong to the family of God. And a family ought to take care of one another. A family ought to reach out and be ready and willing to dive in that ditch of life. To pull a brother or a sister out. And if they can't get them out of that ditch, you stay down there with them until you can lift them out. That means you don't, well, I tried. I tried to talk some sense into them. Isn't it amazing how you try to talk sense into somebody and then all of a sudden you wonder, you know, what's wrong with that kid? And then you get to thinking a little deeper. I mean, he's my kid and I know that my head's not hard. God says, I want you to belong to my family. So we're told that we were adopted into the family of God. Today, on part four, I want us to look at your call to become like Jesus. Every one of us is called to become like Jesus. I'm a becomer. Well, when in the world are you ever going to become? I don't know. Talk to me about that in eternity when you get there. I do understand this for a fact. Even in eternity, we continue to learn. Isn't that something? God's going to continually be teaching us. Times have changed, but Jesus hasn't. The calling that He gave back in those days, He gives today. The truth of His love He shares with us within our heart today. Listen to Romans 8, 28 and 29. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Now, God causes everything to work together. God doesn't cause all the evil. We put ourselves in that spot. But God causes everything to work together. The evil within our life, He calls to be turned out good when we turn to Him. You got it? What our enemies intended to use to destroy us, of the Christian faith, the direct love of God, God says, I'll grow you. And I'll grow you with a heart. I'll grow you with strength. I'll grow you in integrity because I want you to know you are all becomers. Becomers, becoming more like Jesus as we grow. As we grow in the Spirit of Christ and the wisdom of His Heavenly Father through His Holy Spirit that directs us in all that we do. God says, I love you and I continue to love you and I love you so much. And then you know what he did? He gave to the human race a love to give back. You and I are ornery when it comes to loving. Most of the people, they only love those who do what they tell them to do, or they only love those who think just like they think, or they only love a certain echelon of personalities within life. Oh, I just love all of those big trucks and fancy cars. I love it. No, you don't. You love the Lord who allows you to be blessed. If you drive them, to drive them. If not, get on the horse and ride for Jesus. But you use whatever transportation God gives you, because he's told us to go. And he says, I want you to know you're continuing to become. Let me finish Romans 8, 28 and 29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I became a brother of Christ. Ladies, you became a sister. You became a part of God's family. And he said, I knew before that you would choose. I know who will and I know who won't. But I let you all grow together, for I want it to be your choice. All this foolishness that we're having to deal with in our denomination. Well, now just a certain number of people are born to go to heaven and a certain number are born to go to hell. And I cannot, for the life of me, find out where in the world they're coming from. Then there would be no reason for me to preach. If everybody's going to heaven without hearing a word, then why preach? If everybody's going to hell, no matter how many times they hear the word of God, why preach? Why teach? Why come together? Why the family? God established all that we see in our spiritual lives and in our human existence. And he did not, God did not appoint any human being to change the fact God is God, Jesus is his only begotten Son, and he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us that you and I might become a part of his family. That's the way it is. Yet we back off so often. Well, you know, just maybe that there could be another way to heaven than Jesus Christ. You're in the wrong book, folks. You're reading fiction, and that fiction will destroy you. There is no other way. There is no other name under heaven by which one must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. Don't you dare forget it. How do we become what God calls us to be? Do you know that five times in these scriptures, you're not going to know that, but five times in these scriptures, becoming more like Jesus is always focused on a race. He uses the race metaphor. This is how you become more like Jesus. A growing process. Let me say this. As the Lord gives it to me. In this marathon race that you and I are in, something we need to truly understand. You will be running this marathon that you're on right now till the end of this age. How we're going to do it in heaven, I don't know. It's above me. Will we continue? The Bible says so. But you see, I can only focus on down here right now. I can only focus on what God says. Here's the message for you to preach. I want you to become more like Jesus. In order for you to become more like Jesus, then in you there must be an overcoming power. And that overcoming power is Jesus Christ as he sends to us his Holy Spirit. He said, my spirit will guide you. His spirit is not at the bottom of a bottle. His spirit is not in what you own. His spirit happens to be in the individual he created you to be. And he said, I will see my son glorified through your life. Give it to me. Those who try to hold on to it will lose it. Those who lose it for the sake of Jesus, the gospel, will gain it. All my life, I never could understand that scripture until just a couple of years ago. Now I understand it. Many of you will not understand it. Many of you will. It's a personal gift of wisdom that God will give you. You see, I'm never going to die. I'm going to get out of this vehicle. Don't care how it's dressed. I'm going to get out of it. And I will be serving the Lord in whatever type of vehicle to come that he wants me to. We call it the glorified body. And we think we know what that means, but we don't. It's too big. It's too much. But God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to understand that this marathon that you're in, number one, you need to simplify your life in order to run that marathon. I want you to understand this. It's a personal marathon. You're not racing against the person over here on the other side of you. It's not that kind of a marathon. You are dealing with life, reality living. You're dealing with listening to the love of God preached, reading about the love of God in his holy book, reading, learning. But God says, I love you. And I want you to understand something. Larry, in order for you to listen better, simplify your life. Do you realize how much garbage you and I deal with on a daily basis? It doesn't mean squat. Yeah, that was an old term. And yeah, that was in the old days. Think of it. But what God has done in you and will continue to do is everything. That's everything that I need and you need for this life. Oh, but you don't understand, preacher, all hell's coming against me. Well, you must be doing something right for Jesus. And if nobody is condemning you because of your faith, then I suggest you get back to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, forgive me. Use me like you've called me to be used. Can we be killed and slaughtered like the rest of the world? Are you all listening to all that stuff? You know, they comment and make the statement. I know Fox News does. They comment and make these statements. Oh, this is what's going on. But I never hear anybody saying, we got to stand up against this. You let the Islamic community start all of these gangs now they've got in villages, even within the United States of America, pushing Sharia law. And I don't hear a thing against them doing that or beating a kid because he doesn't think like they think. Jesus is quite capable of taking care of himself, thank you. I don't have to defend Jesus, and he didn't go tell me to kill anybody on his behalf. Nor did he tell me not to stand the ground as I'm growing. You and I need to be proud of who Jesus is. And we got to knock this stuff off. Well, I just didn't want to say anything that might hurt somebody's feelings. Well, that hurts your pastor's feelings when you make that statement. I don't deal in feelings. I deal in reality. Amen. I do not focus on what someone else says. I focus on who Jesus is and what he says within my heart. And you and I must together do the very same thing. We are called by God to become more like Jesus. That'll get you killed, preacher. Did you ever read the part where he went to the cross? I am alive today because he went to that cross. I read the book. It's the book of life. Do you know the Holy Bible is the bloodiest, most sexual book, vile, that's ever been written? That's why I'm for censorship. You know good and well if they ever start, well, we need to censor these books. Leave it alone. Because the Bible would be the first book censored. That's sad. That's the life. That's the generation in which we're living today. I can look back on the old days, but I'm called by God to look forward. Because there's a new day coming. There's a new day coming, and God says one day, Larry, the trumpet's going to sound. My son's going to descend. And you're going to hear the angels shouting, it's supper time. Come on home. I'm going to hear it. I know Jesus. It's not on anything that I've ever done. It's all focuses on everything he has done. But folks, he's still doing it. Larry, you're becoming. You're becoming. You know what the great sin in our life is as Christians? We think we're already there. Well, you know, when I look at this life over here, I just know I'm walking closer to the Lord. You know, when I look, watch my husband, I know that I'm closer to the Lord than he is. When I look at my wife, I just know. That's when both of you need to be at the foot of the cross. You're lying to yourself. Am I going to become? Am I going to stand strong? Listen to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let us strip off anything that slows us down. Did you ever see a runner running a marathon in a suit and tie? I mean, folks, if they're going to run, they're going to run half naked because they want to win. The shoes are going to be the lightest weight. And they're just going to barely have anything on. Why? They do not want anything holding them back in the race. Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back. And especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around their feet and trip us up. What are those sins? I don't know. I can tell you this. That sin is your favorite sin. Do you know we'll lay everything at the altar except for our most favorite? You know, I've given the Lord everything, but you know, I remember this in my younger days as our congregation realizes how much I love cigars. You know, Lord, I'm ready and willing to give up anything and everything. Can I still have my cigars? You know, what happens? Be careful with all that, folks, because you'll get to the point, you think about it, and then you become nauseated. And you know, if you keep it up, God's going to pull it out of you. Well, is it that bad? No. No, no. But it was personal. It was private. And it tasted good. So what does your pastor do? Every time, I remind you of this, every time I'm out and see someone that smokes a cigar today, I will walk over to them and make sure that I can share with them within the next 45 minutes while they're smoking. And I breathe it in and say, I'm not guilty, Lord. I'm not guilty. That's reality living, isn't it? And the Lord said, if it's going to hinder you from serving me, it's sin. If it's going to hinder you, Larry, I am going to convict you of it. Back off. I know I don't have much time left on earth. And I'll cheer you up again. You all aren't looking too hot yourself out there. We all only have a specific amount of time. This is my time. This is my place. This is where God's called me. You and I need to be about our Father's business. Because he said, strip off anything that slows us down, holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around your feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Particular race. That means that's for you. You're the particular one that race is set up for. I can't run your race. You can't run mine. It's particular for me. It's the race that God has called me to run. As bad as I wanted to, Dr. Verlin Crushes, dear friend of mine, he's 99 years old now in an assisted living home out of Louisville, but what a blessing, because he was a manuscript preacher. And, you know, every statement he made was written, and I loved hearing him. He could master it. You never knew he was reading anything, and nor did he have a prompter either. He had written it out so others could have it, but you never saw him reading it, but verbatim as you would listen. And I thought, you know, that's what I want to be. I'd love to be a manuscript preacher, so therefore I couldn't make mistakes. Check it over first. And God says, Larry, I got a congregation for you. Special congregation that'll fit your personality. As a veteran Marine, I'm sending you to prison to preach the gospel. Oh yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, I don't know that I said that at the time. And then I get into prison. Now let me tell you about having a particular calling. And I realized something. I could relate to them. I had no trouble going in with the hardest core criminals in the country. And I always felt comfortable inside the cell with them. Half the time it was staff on the outside I worried about. But you see, God says, I'll give you the gift, you go, and you do. But here's what I want you to do and understand. I want you to mature. I want you to be a becomer. And I want you to simplify your life by dumping the garbage, standing up for my truth, listening to me, and quit worrying about what's ahead. So I know now. You know, I don't know what this afternoon's going to bring. I don't know what the next moment's going to bring. But I do know this. Jesus is the one that's going to bring it. You got it? Jesus is the one that's going to bring it. Well, what about the bad times? Well, didn't you hear it? God causes everything to work out for your good, even the bad times. Do you really think that we are going to be servants of the Most High God, part of His family, and stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and nobody's going to condemn us? You need to get out of house more, folks, because the world does not want to hear the word of God that's going to bring peace to them. Many do not want peace. They want war. Many do not want understanding from God. They want God to understand them. And they want God to be the God that they created. They will reverse and we will hear, let's create a God in our image. Do we not have it today? Are you not seeing it coming around us today? Good gracious folks, your pastor can't even preach from his outline. Don't we see that God is calling us out? That God is lifting us up? That God is saying, Christians, either you stand up now or you'll fall later. I am a becomer. And as long as God allows me right here on planet Earth, my heart is dedicated to Him to continually become closer. I can't do that doing it my way. I've done too many things my way. My way never did work very good. All those leaves you turned over, oh, I've turned over a new leaf, and then the day after tomorrow, you can't even find a book, much less the leaf. Think of it. What's going on within our heart? Have we backed away from the truth of God and allow individuals that have a slick tongue? And let me tell you, it's not just the politicians. You find you a pastor that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. You find you a pastor that'll stand with holy boldness for the truth of who God is. And you stick with that pastor. And you support that pastor. And then you support one another. And we all become the family of God. Folks, look how far we have fallen. We have to have security within the churches. We have to have security in a parking lot because people breaking in, stealing things. We have to have security even during their offering time. And I have to have a whole squad just to watch the pastor. Think of it. Are we growing in Christ or are we falling in the world? I cannot stand back and watch the world kick down the door of God's house. I cannot stand back and listen to the lies that are being taught by a world just so you can feel good. What I will tell you is this. It's a fact of life. God created us in His own image. He created us to love us. He created us to love Him back. He has to give me that love. I don't have it in and of myself. And He said, I want you to know something. I want you to know just how much that I truly, truly love you. I want you to belong to my family. Now, do you really think that it's wise for the world to attack a member of the family of God? Do you really think that the world might be a little foolish because you and I as Christians, in order to get closer to Jesus, we simplify our life? We don't have to go out in the community and say, see, ever since I accepted Jesus, I'm so wealthy. I hope He takes every dime of it away. Think of it. That's not it. It's not in the possessions that we have. It's not in the way of the world. Don't we understand that we are all children of God? And any time a child of God cries out, Lord, help me, He's already there. Anytime we think the world is so heavy on our back and we say, I don't know what to do, Jesus said, well, get out from under it. Come to me. Take my yoke. It's easy. It's light. Walk with me. But Lord, don't I have a battle here to fight? Larry, you have a battle to stand up and show up in. I've already fought it for you. It takes a lifetime to get that in your heart. It takes a lifetime, folks. And all of a sudden, and you look and you say, oh, gosh, that's God. And it's like He would say, been here, Larry, ever since you was that little 8-year-old boy. I protected you on Buffalo Hill in LaRue County. I watched you grow. It was me that was in the battles with you. In the Dominican Republic. It was me that was in Vietnam with you. It was me, Larry, that brought you home. Now, Larry, I've shown you my love. Would you preach my love to the people that I call you to preach to? Yes, Lord. Well, I think you need a little training. You got too much Marine Corps still in that head and in that tongue. So here's what I'm going to do. For 30 years, you're going to preach in prisons. And I'll let you in and out of the churches. And then I have a place for you at the end of that. I had no idea it would be Vine Grove Baptist Church. But folks, I'm proud to be here. And I'm proud to be your pastor. And I want you to know something. God loves you just like you are. Quit trying to clean yourself up to present yourself to God. Come just as you are without one plea. Lift your heart and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. The greatest heart you can give to God is a heart that is pure. What makes it pure? You admit, Lord, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Then you will know. For he says, when you humbled yourself, when you bend the knee to me, I will lift you up. You could be in the belly of a giant fish. I'll make him spit you out. It could be Goliath standing right in front of you. Pray for him because he's got trouble. You belong to me. And if the mountain is so high, well, I'll move it. Don't tell me about your past. Tell me about how you are becoming more like Jesus every day. Because you see, I'm in that marathon. In that marathon race, I need everybody. I need a team. You do too. Oh, I can do it myself. No, you can't. And you can only handle that physically for so long. You can't do it. But here's the key. Larry, not only can I and will I, I've already done it. Give your heart. And when you give your heart to Jesus Christ and he becomes Lord and Savior of your life, just remember one scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then you stick the rest of that right beside it in your heart, because it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we lift our heart to you, Lord. So much we don't understand, but we do know something. You're the one that's in control. Touch our heart that each of us as your children right here at Vine Grove Baptist Church, that we will be about your business. Allow us to stand strong and true for who you are and who you want us to be as we become more like your Son every day. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.